Let's welcome everybody in to our national hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Glad you're aboard. If you can't catch us live, always download us wherever you get your favorite podcast. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jason York, co-host of the Coming In Hot Sens podcast. It comes with a heavy heart today that we say that we lost a good one in the hockey world, the hockey community, with the passing of former professional hockey player, former NHL executive Sean Simpson, 56 years of age. Mm-hmm. Someone that I got to know competing against him in junior hockey. He was a few years younger than me, but I went up against him as a North Bay Centennial, and he was a Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound. He was the first goalie, if I'm not mistaken, drafted to the Washington Capitals in 1986. And then that's where we met up when I got claimed off of waivers by the Washington Capitals and spent a few real fun training camps with him. We had a younger group. We hung out. Just devastating news today coming out of the Ottawa community.
Really sad stuff. And Sean had been pretty open. You know, I don't know the details of what happened to Sean, but he was part of our recovery community and someone that I had personally talked to a good deal about that. I know some other people had spoken with him as well. You know, and had some hard times, that reached out to other people and was cared about people. You know, he was a really good man who wanted good for other people, and you know, hope he found some for himself somewhere along the way. It's heartbreaking. It's what it is.
Yeah, I'm quite frankly lost at words to wake up. It was like, I mean, we all knew, and he was public with it as well, that the challenges that he had through
mental
wellness. Yeah. And, you know, for those of you out there still battling every day, the only thing we can continue to do is encourage you to find solutions and I'm not the guy to speak of it.
No, JB. But it's good that
you are someone that's lived it and gone through it. And I mean, there are watchers and listeners right now that, maybe are finding today or tomorrow difficult.
Yeah, for myself, I went to Renaissance, where I went to rehab in 2019, almost 6 years ago. In February, on the 16th, it'll be 6 years, and I was there today and met with them about trying to do some raising awareness and fundraising. And you know, it is jarring when you first go to get help. You don't realize that you can't just get help. They don't just open a door and say, you know, there's a process, there's a wait list in Canada. They need money so they can get people into the building faster. And so that's one of the things that if you do are someone who wants to give on these sort of things, Renaissance.ca has a fundraising page. And, you know, it's good just to be there, and my DMs are open. So if anyone wants to chat, I'm happy to give you a call.
Wow, that's really nice of you, for sure. Sean was pretty special too. Even when I knew him young, mm-hmm. It was like you go out for dinner, the guy wouldn't stop talking.
He's a big personality.
Really, really big personality, strong personality, had his opinions, which was perfect for what we do and what he did for many years, I think, at TSN Radio.
You're with friend of the show that we used to have on a little bit before he took the role with the Sens, but he was with Ian Mendez. I think they did a show for maybe 4 years together. Like they were tied together for a long time. And if you want to read a really touching tribute, go to Ian Mendez's X account. He wrote a 2-page sort of tribute to his past friend. I actually thought it was a really, you know, heartbreaking, but touching read for a guy that, you know, intimately knew him and spent time with him and, you know, did a radio show with him. So I thought it was a pretty beautiful tribute from Ian as well. So if you're looking for that.
It's great. He talks about how they genuinely didn't like each other for a while, but then, you know, kind of break the walls down and get to know Sean and told him about his insecurities and fears. And all of a sudden you get to know what's behind some of this stuff. And, obviously they became close friends.
And he did have a unique path too, because he didn't play, I'm not even sure if he got to play one game in the NHL, mm-hmm. but he stayed in Washington. Even when the Washington Capitals let him go, he actually stayed and did radio play by play.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, with Pete Weber,
yeah.
who was like legendary play by play guy
in
Washington. And he hung around there. And then he actually got involved with the management team. And if I'm not mistaken, ended up director of player personnel for the Washington Capitals. And then he also had a stint, I think, in Toronto in 2004, 2005.
Yeah. He was a big part of the hockey community in many different ways.
Okay, let's welcome in Jason York, co-host of Coming In Hot podcast, former NHLer and a guy that knows all too well what Sean Simpson meant to the Ottawa community. Condolences for the community's loss, Jason.
Yeah, well, Kipper, you, I know you know Sean as well, and you and I spoke this morning, and I'll be honest, I was like, I can't do it, guys. It's just... But you brought something up really that I thought was really important today, Nick. You just said, if we could just help one person by talking about it, then we've accomplished something pretty good. And then that really resonated with me when we talked about that today, Kipper, because there's so many people out there battling, especially nowadays. It's so tough out there. And we've all been affected. Like, we've all been affected by something like this. And for me, this is the first time I've really had somebody this close pass away in, like this. But like I said, it's been a really tough day in Ottawa for a lot of people. Sean touched a lot of people. I heard you talking about him, and you're exactly right. He was a very likable, opinionated guy. Sometimes he rubbed people the wrong way. But that's a good thing. But he was so honest, and that was refreshing in an industry when, you know, let's be honest, some people will say stuff just to appease people all the time, right? So that was something that really endeared Sean to a lot of the people in Ottawa, because he was brutally honest, and he was fun. Like, he came on our podcast, Wally and I brought him on for a couple months, and it was great. We had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed him. But he's gone too soon. It's, there's a big hole in a lot of people's hearts today, fellas.
Just one more note too. And I know, Justin, you just mentioned different ways to grab help as well. You know, we're part, Jason, thankfully, of a small but close community in the NHL with our alumni, through Glenn Healy, anybody out there that's struggling, please reach out to the NHL alumni or anybody in the hockey world. If you're struggling out there, there are answers. Just keep searching for them and know that there is a better tomorrow for you out there. Absolutely. All right. Outside of that, I don't know how we transition to something trivial like the NHL, but we got to try here.
Yeah.
And just in terms of the Ottawa Senators, and it just seems in that Atlantic or that East, it's going to be a good week, great, you're in, and a bad week, you're out. And that's what we're basically seeing out of the Ottawa Senators, Columbus, the Boston Bruins. What do you see out of the Senators going into tonight?
It's pretty insane when you think about it, right? Like, throw the Rangers in there, throw Detroit in there. Everybody in the Eastern Conference has a shot right now. I'll tell you, with the Ottawa Senators, I said this about 2 months ago, they're a different hockey team than we've seen in the past. And under Travis Green, Mike Yeo, Nolan Baumgartner, Daniel Alfredson, Ben Sexton, they've got these guys to buy in. And Albert, I just remember years past, these guys would routinely beat themselves, giving up late goals in periods, not getting a key save here and there. It was just always something. But now, like, you guys know this. If you play good defense, you get timely saves, and you give yourself a chance just to hang around in hockey games, your percentages of winning just go up so much more drastically in this game. And that's what Ottawa does. They hang around in a lot of games, and they're getting. I was worried when Ullmark went down. Like, I thought, okay, this is gonna be the season when he went down before Christmas, and then all of a sudden, Marilainen came in. I'm like, wow, this kid's a pretty good goaltender. And then people thought Forsberg was done, and he's come up huge the last couple of weeks. So it's been interesting. They've had a hell of a time scoring goals. But they're defending better than I've ever seen them defend in a long time, and they're getting key saves at key times.
So, Yorkie, they're in this mix with all these other teams. It feels like if you could get a few percent better, you know, you might be able to put yourself in that next echelon as they head towards the trade deadline. What are you expecting this management team to do?
I keep looking at their defense, Barney, and I would have to think they're going to add another defenseman. Mm-hmm. Just from what's happened this year too, like they've went long stretches without a key member of their top four. They had Zub out for a while. They missed Sanderson for a few games, Shabbat. Now Nick Jensen's out. So it's like, get in line, right? Every team's probably looking for the same thing.
Right.
But I would think if they're still in the mix, and Steve Staios being a former defenseman, Dave Poulin, 200-foot player, they understand how you win in the playoffs. So I would think that would probably be their first order of business. And Nick Cousins now is going to be out probably at least 6 weeks. I would think they would probably look to add up front as well. Everyone's saying they need another top six. They need a top six, somebody to put the puck in the net. But that's a lot easier said than done too, right? So I think defenseman and then potentially a forward. So they'd look for two pieces.
Yeah.
We saw a goal out of Brady Tkachuk, which was a nice sign the other night, but 10 games without a point. And where is he for you in his development, maturation as a captain? And on some nights we see him engaged with, you know, a Max Domi. And then there's other nights when I'm sure Ottawa fans want to see him focusing on putting the puck in the net. So where's he for you?
So obviously, like, he's struggled the last little while to put up points. He knows it. He's addressed it. He's talked about. But I'll say this about his game. I think today Brady Tkachuk's a better player than he's ever been. And the reason I say that is because of how he plays on the other side of the puck now. Mm. Much more responsible defensively, comes back deep into the zone. Under the old system they used to play, Ottawa used to love to stretch it out. So your wingers would kind of come back slow, hope for a turnover, and then maybe you get a break, right? And that's a good way to get some extra points, but it's not a great way to play if you want to play consistent winning hockey, like what I talked about earlier. So I just think he's much more well-rounded as a 200-foot player, and that's what Travis Green's been preaching to these guys since day one. If we're going to win, fellas, I mean, he said this yesterday, guys might not have their best point totals of their career, but we're going to win games. So sure, would I like to see him scoring a little more right now? Absolutely. Every players do go through some of these ups and downs, but I'm really impressed with how Brady Tkachuk's bought in to the defensive side of the game.
When, you know, looking at all these teams that are trying to take a step from that pack, Ottawa, to me, their core has taken a step. Some other teams haven't. Buffalo's, Detroit's, whoever. I love Stutzla, as you know. Tkachuk, how do you feel about the guys on the back end? Has Sanderson got to where you expected he could be or should be by now?
Do you know what, Bernie? I think the bar, and I know you're a Jake Sanderson guy as well. If you, the little intricacies in his game, like his escapability, how he's able to skate out of, like, a lot of times you'll see a D just rim it. Sanderson fake the rim, spinorama, skate the puck out of the zone. He does things like that that don't always show up on the score sheet. I'm really impressed with him. Do I think he's had some games where he's not been what you expect? Absolutely. But if you've watched the Ottawa Senators closely this year, there was a stat that was out there, I think it was last week, him and Artem Zub, I think they were number one in the league on expected goals against. They were leading that stat of the two best guys when they're on the ice together. And being a defenseman, it is important to have a partner you can rely on, who you know is going to be there, who you can give D-to-D passes, who's going to be an outlet. And I just find in the past, like, he was kind of on an island before. And no disrespect to Travis Hamonic, he's just not at that point in his career right now. He's a good 5'6", but he was playing with Sanderson. So I think that had something to do with it. But he's playing really well right now, guys. And if you watch games and watch him closely, there's so many little parts of his game that you just say. And you know what the tell for me was? I watched a game, it was about 2 weeks ago. I think Ray Ferreira was calling it. And Ray hadn't done a Sens game in a long time. And the whole broadcast, he kept talking about all the little plays Sanderson was doing because he's not used to seeing it, right?
Right.
And to me, that was a guy that gets it, knows it, and was talking about it all game.
You're watching and listening to former NHLer and co-host of Coming In Hot Sens podcast, Jason York. So just one more touch on the Ottawa blue line, and you mentioned, yeah, they're looking for somebody else. But a while ago, I wasn't sure if there's room for two $8 million defensemen in Sanderson and Shabbat, and now I'm starting to think, yeah, maybe there is long-term. What are your thoughts?
He's been good, eh, Kipper Shabbat?
Yes.
I think this is the best he's played, I think, part of his career. I think this is the best season. I know the points aren't there, but he doesn't start on the first power play every single time. So, you know, unless you start on every single first power play, you're not going to put up a ton of points. But he and Nick Jensen have played pretty well exclusively this year together. And back to my point about defensemen really thrive when they have a good partner. Him and Jensen have been a great mix, and I think he's helped Thomas out a lot, and Thomas has helped Nick Jensen a lot. And unfortunately, Jensen's down right now, but Shabbat's still playing good. He's just, again, he's playing with a newfound defensive confidence. I think Nolan Baumgartner, former defenseman, has really been beneficial in being just a voice to talk to Shabbat. And I don't think that's been talked enough about what Baumgartner's done for this group. I think it's really important to have a former defenseman coaching your D. I think Baumgartner's done a real nice job with Shabbat.
Yorkie, what did you make of the Andlauer flirting with Quebec City Spartacat fiasco?
The nerve!
I said this, Spartacat remind me of my dog at Halloween when I try and put a costume on my dog and it doesn't like it.
It doesn't. I'm not putting this on.
What's going on here? I don't like this. It's just, I feel bad for Sparty.
Yeah.
I know what Ottawa's trying to do. I know what Michael Andlauer is trying to do. It's you got an area in Quebec where you're hoping you can convert some people into Sens fans. Throw a couple exhibition games down there. And we all know Ottawa's TV market and ratings is one of the lowest in the league. So how do you, they're always trying to figure out ways how to improve that. And I don't blame them. Try and embrace that market. Mm-hmm. But if they had a do-over on the one thing, they're not doing the jersey thing with Spartacat because that didn't go over well. I think it set a record on Twitter that day for most venom in the Sens fan base.
Who knew? Who knew the Sens' biggest rival was Quebec?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was a day on Twitter, I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
Yorkie, is there anything that this kind of can coincide with the fact that maybe the negotiations for a new arena downtown maybe aren't going as well as owner Michael Andlauer would like it to?
So that kind of crossed my mind, Kipper. But then after talking to some people and thinking it through, there's absolutely no correlation between those two things. Mm. And I know for a fact the team's not going anywhere. The ownership group is rock solid. I just think it was the jersey, the fan base too. Don't forget, Ottawa was fresh off a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs where the Leafs come in and their fan base basically takes over the building. So people are a little bit pesky to begin with.
Yeah.
And then the next day your mascot has a Nordiques half jersey on. So I just think that was a lot for Sens fans who, you know what, by rights are a little sensitive, and that's not a bad thing. But I don't think there's any correlation between the two things.
Well, all can be made up with a playoff spot this year, that's for sure,
oh, yeah.
Right?
That would go a long way.
Yeah, no, listen, winning solves everything, right? Yep. Winning is the magic elixir for everything. It's just, you got to do it, right? And the Senators haven't made the playoffs in a long time, and a lot of people in Ottawa, they think this is the year.
Well, a very difficult day today in Ottawa. And Yorkie, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing some words on Sean Simpson, and hopefully maybe reaching out to somebody to suggest there's more hope for you. And I can't thank you enough, pal, for doing this. Thanks.
Kipper, I'm always great to catch up with you and Bronny, and I'll reiterate what you just said. If anybody's watching this and you're having a tough time, reach out to somebody. And somebody, if you're worried, do the same thing. It's more important than you think.
Yeah. Thanks, York. You appreciate your time, pal.
Former National Hockey Leaguer Jason York, one of the good guys.
One of my fans.
Yeah.
Love Yorkie. He's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Do you guys want some breaking news?
You got some baseball news?
It's not hockey related, and I know people get pissed off when I talk about hockey.
That's all right. You're excited. The Blue Jays signed a pitcher.
Yeah. I was waiting for multiple sources because of our saddest time capsule ever with Ohtani. Oh. But first on the news was John Heyman, and he said that the Toronto Blue Jays have signed Max Scherzer.
Whoa.
To a one-year contract.
Superstar
name. Just over $15 million for the year. He's making more than McDavid is this season, and he's going to probably be the fifth pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. So,
where is he at? I know he's at the end.
Has he got anything left?
I think he's got enough to give you some capable, maybe between 100 and 150 capable innings, yeah, where you maybe get something around a 4 ERA. He's a diminished what he once was, but he's still
an
all-time pitcher.
Great, which means he's still got a couple tricks.
Yeah,
and I tell you what,
and he's a tireless competitor, animal, two different color eyes.
Yeah,
swears at everybody.
And if I've got a ticket to a game, mm-hmm, and it's most team's fifth starter, I don't care. If it's Max Scherzer, I'm gonna go.
It's exciting.
I'm excited.
I will say, it's the Jays have taken a lot of flack for this offseason and being the second place for a lot of stuff, but
go be first for Alonso.
I will say. Anthony Santander, and then adding Max Scherzer
helps.
Do a hell of a lot worse than those two additions.
Yeah.
Plus, they're still apparently in the running for Pete Alonso. Who knows where that ends up? But good two signings. They got Jimenez from Cleveland, who's maybe not the best bat. Good defensively. We'll see what it looks like. But
it doesn't
good
hurt
starter
to get good
for the
players
Jays.
In yes. terms of getting other good players. They yep. look at it and go, okay, if we're going to be something, maybe that helps Alonso.
I'm really happy that Derek didn't buzz in with that damn collar band. Enough of the baseball.
No more baseball.
There we go.
All right.
No more baseball. But anyways, there you go.
Just one final thought on the Ottawa Senators. Are they your odds-on favorite here to sneak in? Out of a handful of teams now?
Yeah. I don't know what the favorite, because it depends. Do you consider Boston in that category? Do you consider Tampa Bay a fringy team? I don't consider Tampa a fringy team, but yeah, I think they get it. I think they do. But it's a pile, man. You can check out my article yesterday on those fringe teams, mm-hmm, and how competitive and close it's going to be.
If the playoffs started today, everybody's favorite game, the Battle of Ontario, first round of the playoffs.
Give it to us. Give me Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs.
So, as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and we're in the National Hour, and we maybe are on some TVs in our nation's capital and bars in the nation's capital. I'm not sure I want to admit this to our Ottawa brethren, but
you're scared.
Hey, the Leafs have had some heartbreaking moments over this era where they've lost one of their most historic rivals, blew a 3-1 series lead to them, lost a play-in series to the Columbus Blue Jackets, who were no good at that time. They've lost to the Boston Bruins. I mentioned Montreal. Lost to the Boston Bruins. Lose to Tampa. They've lost to a lot of different things. This would just be another real notch on the belt for embarrassment for this fan base. And I would be lying to you.
Why would that be embarrassing to lose to Ottawa?
Well, I am just telling you right now, it's on my radar. It's on my radar. What have they lost?
Potential ways that could be embarrassing.
I think they've won four in a row against the Leafs. I think they just always play really hard against the Leafs. If Omar gets healthy, he's a really good goalie. I do have my worries about it. That's all.
Listen, for me, and I said it during our Leaf Hour, if the Leafs don't find a way to play faster hockey, they would lose to Ottawa. They Ottawa's faster right now.
Yeah.
They play faster, quicker.
A couple of D-men who get up and down the ice with an elite goalie.
They move the puck faster. Their power play looked great against the Leafs last Saturday.
All right.
Please be the voice of reason.
Well, the voice of reason is, what are we doing
tell
here?
Tell me that the Leafs would beat them.
I think they would be the favorite. Okay. I think Sens fans would say they're the favorite.
At least they've been the favorite against a lot of teams.
Yeah, favorites lose.
All right, can we cheer up Vancouver Canuck fans for another win?
Sure.
Let's do game time first, and then we'll hit a break, and then we'll do that after.
There you go, Sammy. The voice of reason after breaking Blue Jay news.
Yeah, it's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Yeah, coming off the Blue Jays news, checking out Bet365, the favorites to the World Series. Oh, the Blue Jays! No, I'm joking. I wanted to look at some of the make the playoff odds here, as I'm just pulling this up quickly. Because there's some teams at the bottom of the conferences that I thought were interesting. I was looking at it earlier. The Ottawa Senators, who we were talking about, are now -220 to make the playoffs. So they're pretty, I mean, not a huge favorite, but...
Well, that's pretty big.
And the Boston Bruins, who you would think would be ahead of them in terms of just the history and sort of the pedigree, they are a plus money, plus 100 to make the playoffs now. Behind them are the Rangers at plus 155. And the number that stuck out to me here... The New York Islanders have better odds to make the playoffs than the Columbus Blue Jackets do, which I find very fascinating.
4 or 5 points back at least.
Well, and they've won 5 in a row now here.
Not 5 in a row, but they have a brutal month ahead.
Yeah, and I'm just looking here. The Vancouver Canucks as well on this list. This is for our Vancouver listeners after coming off 3 great wins in a row, including beating the Nashville Predators, who's absolutely reek last night. They are -200 to make the playoffs, while the Calgary Flames are +200. So Bet365 is thinking that that's going to flip here. They're back in the playoffs
as
officially today.
As a Flames fan, I am offended.
Me too. And there's nothing really else of note here. I guess the Montreal Canadiens, if you think they're going to get in, they're +500 to make the playoffs. So maybe a little bit of value if you think they're going to be good. And the Red Wings are +450.
That's value.
So there you go.
Value for a team in the hunt.
I just thought it was interesting that the Senators are favorites to make the playoffs. What could go wrong, Ottawa? Anyways, that was game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Please don't make the playoffs.
Boston Bruins, they've got Winnipeg tonight in town. They're coming off a 7-2 shellacking.
Bruins might have to sell.
Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, what the hell happened?
Bruins might have to sell. There, I know they're in a playoff spot today.
I wasn't watching too closely. We had it on in the golf simulator on Tuesday, but every time I looked up, there was another puck entering the net.
I would think they'd be in on Sod.
The Bruins.
Yeah.
I think if I was Sod, I'd be out on the Bruins. I mean, they are out of playoffs in terms of points percentage. What makes you believe, if you're Sod, that this team is going to, looking at the Oilers, if I'm Sod, I'm like, yeah. If I'm looking at Toronto, I'm like, if I play well there, I can juice my value.
You mentioned the Edmonton Oilers as a potential.
Yeah, I saw somebody put it out there, the connection between Stan Bowman and Brendan Saad from who was it? I forget who it was that put it out there. My bad. Anyways, but there was from the time there's a connection there. Maybe that's there. Not reporting it by any stretch, but maybe a connection. I don't know.
Interesting. We had Jeff Jackson, president of the Edmonton Oilers, talking about Evander Kane, and
he was in no rush to get him back.
Well, didn't hear that he was not excited about him. I heard this may take all the way till April 18th.
We heard Kucherov.
Yeah, I did.
Evander Kucherov.
We heard
Kucherov.
He said.
Well, we got to see what the timeline is like on this. We're not really sure.
Now, there's a few of those guys out there, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Jan Krook, maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I don't know. They got cap issues. They got
the playoffs if he doesn't come back.
They've got a
God, the way Leafs fans are, they're like, this guy's bringing back prime Mike Bossy, by the way. They're talking about him. Good Lord. He's got one goal in career 18 playoff games for the Leafs. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Is that what you want, Sammy?
Yeah. We're going to talk about some of the Four Nations captains after the break. I don't think there's any surprises, but just quickly before we go, it reminded me, you're talking about that Bruins-Sabres game.
Yeah.
And I was watching it out of the corner of my eye, and I was talking about pucks entering the net, and they were entering the net off of Tage Thompson's stick.
Oh.
Well, why did they not take him again?
U.S. doesn't need him.
That was weird.
They got Brock Nelson. Who needs Tage Thompson?
He's so good. And he's huge, and he's got an edge. Like, it's just like...
Prime age, has a 47-goal season.
That's a weird one to me.
Yeah. Don't need him.
Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. And we'll also talk about the Vancouver Canucks, and we don't have to talk Miller and Pettersson because we can talk Demko.
I got something to say.
Again, leave him alone.
Bringing us down.
Just walks over to the dead horse with a stick. I have something to say.
Including in that conversation, Four Nations lost another star defenseman to the tournament. We'll tell you who when we return. After the break.
I actually don't know.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365.
Couple housekeeping notes for you, Kippy.
Go get him, big guy.
I broke the news to the world that the Jays signed Max Serger, and it wasn't Jeff Passan, it was me.
Yeah,
I broke the news. Shai Davidi coming up at 6 on Fan Pregame right after us, and then a special edition of Blair and Barker tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fine at 7 p.m.
Whoa!
So coverage on Max Scherzer signing on the station. So
how mad is Jeff Blair today?
Sour.
That's a ton for a soon-to-be 41-year-old.
Oh, here we go. You sound like Jay's Twitter buddy. You're Mr. Negative.
Is 41 still, like, in the prime for baseball?
Prime for something. Hair loss, according to me.
It's prime to start getting a discount at dinner.
you're worried he's not going to be able to
get it
around?
He's been on a few teams in the last 5 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been bouncing around a bit. Listen,
he's been bouncing around a little bit.
It's not exactly signing Soto, but it's not bad.
As long as he can get around that nerve issue.
Yeah, just bypass your nerves. We all know how to do that.
And one other thing, a quick, and now I'm really pissing that guy off. A golf note for you. Shane Lowry today made an ace.
And yeah, he is love it.
Where, on the Videotron?
No, on Real Golf. They're playing Real Golf today.
Okay.
And Shane Lowry now has three career aces on the PGA Tour. 17th at TPC Sawgrass, 16th at Augusta National, and 7th at Pebble Beach. So, like, the three most famous holes on Earth.
Oh. He has three?
Three career aces on tour.
That's and you?
Like very many.
You?
I have two.
I have two.
I have zero.
Sammy, no more golf.
17th hole at TPC Sawgrass, 16th at Augusta National, 7th at Pebble Beach. I mean, could you pick three better ones?
That is pretty unbelievable. 16 at Augusta seems gettable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you get a little bowl, goes down. Go show me. Show me you can do it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Anyways, we can move on now.
You get me on Augusta.
I'll try. I'll do my best.
Okay, Sammy, where do you want to start? Captains?
Yeah, we can do the captains.
Okay.
Hold on, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Is there any chance Pettersson's skating up the ice for Team Sweden? Miller has him in his
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I know he could hit him. It just occurred to me today that he could actually light him up in a real game with
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
What if he hurt him?
Ever. It's just a bad thought.
You're a bad boy.
It's just a bad
thought. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, first of all, if you even have that in your mind, you know how many opportunities you would have had in practice all these months or years?
Uh-huh.
And you're going to wait for it at the Four Nations?
He was on your team in practice, Kip. He's not anymore. He's a bad guy now.
Sometimes you go line against line a little bit.
Well,
come
sure.
On. There's one-on-one battles. There's battles.
But they're not competing for ice time against one another. They both get it. This is a real
No,
game.
I'm talking about in practice.
I know what I'm saying. Okay. There's even that compete isn't
No,
this.
The thought would never cross my mind, and I know it would not for Miller. You can't hate a teammate that much. I'm telling you, you can't.
Are you aware of what's been happening? Have you been paying attention?
Kipper, we've literally been talking about this for 6 weeks here, brother.
You're talking about purposely going out and hurting a teammate.
Oh, I said hitting.
Stop it.
I think he could purposely go out and hit.
Stop it.
So, like you said, you know, he's coming up to say, Miller is a hitter. He hits guys. He's not afraid to play physically.
He lets up on him.
No shot.
He might.
You think he would?
Do you think he'd let up on him?
I don't.
I think there's a chance that we'll see a little bit of letting up. I don't know what...
Pettersson just spears him in the throat.
Once you get into maybe a final where you're under the gun to put on a good show, I don't listen. It's been a long year. These guys are tired. A lot of them, in a perfect world, would like to go to a beach for 4 days like their teammates. But they're not going to go out there and kill each other.
What's Mitch submarine Willie's knees?
No, it's not happening, guys.
You have been talking about the quality of this tournament in terms of, like, we don't have an all-star game this year.
Do it. Do it, Sam.
But are you, like, do you think this is going to be an all-star game? Like, you're really poo-pooing this, baby.
I'm not poo-pooing it.
Oh, you're a rain cloud of poo.
All you do is poo.
Okay, both of you, just stop it right now, okay? I'm not poo-pooing anything. I'm telling you that no one's going to really go out there and purposely try to hurt anybody.
Okay.
Especially teammates.
What do you expect the competitive level to be at this event?
It's 6.5.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're poo-pooing.
Let her rip. No. Hold on. What does compete mean? Compete means trying hard to put a puck in the net or trying to kill each other.
If tonight at downtown outdoor rink, Canada and U.S. played a hockey game.
Yeah.
The best players from both countries got on the ice and played a hockey game. It would be way past a 6.5 out of 10.
Immediately.
With no one watching, playing for nothing.
You played scrimmages
in practice where you played, you know, Canada, U.S. You did. I know you did.
I know, but
and
it's
it gets
like,
ramped up.
I don't see it. I don't see what you're talking about in this particular tournament. You want to talk about a year from now in the Olympics? I'm okay.
Who cares what trophy they give you at the end, whether it's a gold medal or a gold paperclip?
Also, you've been getting those DMs too about it being 2 years, and I've been getting 100 DMs.
Yeah.
It's like,
technically,
it's a year away.
We were just in 2024.
Yeah, the cycle
technically,
got all messed
it was, you know, 24 was
off.
Like 2 weeks ago, and now we're 26. So easy on that.
Yeah. I've been getting that a lot.
Okay, too. So next February.
Yes, a year from now.
Yes, it will. There'll be higher stakes. This isn't a high stakes tournament. I get they want to put on a good show, but it's not high stakes.
It's high stakes anytime these two countries, even Sweden, Finland, I'm sure the stakes in those games would be
high. Did you watch the 2016 World Cup?
But that was silly. It's silly. They took the best players off our team. And they were like, still a thing. It's like, what? They have McDavid. He's ours.
Go watch Brad Marchand's winning goal against Team Europe and tell me it didn't
matter.
It was a good,
great, skilled goal.
You just made a point for him because I didn't know Brad Marchand scored a winning goal.
He did in the second game. It was 1-1 late in the third.
And he was just jumping up and down.
They're going nuts.
I will also add that this was Brad Marchand where people questioned back then whether or not he should have even been on the team. It was his coming out party. That guy was pushing it. He was pushing it.
It was his coming out party, and this year's his stuffing in party. They're going, you go back in. We're not sure if we want
you. He had a Mario Lemieux kind of moment with Sidney Crosby in 2016.
Very cool.
Listen, I'm gonna watch, I'm gonna enjoy it, but they're not killing each other like you're suggesting.
Nobody hits anymore. It's not about
teammates.
The hitting, it's not about
what is it about the slashing
or intensity,
what?
Pace, block shots,
sure,
do all that.
Yeah. Okay, all right, but they're not killing each other.
What do you think, in the Olympics it's going to be a bloodbath? You can't touch anyone in that event.
Anyways, the captains are.
It will be more vicious than what we're going to watch.
I actually think this has a much better chance to be more vicious. If you breathe on a guy with IIHF, they're like 16 minutes for head looking.
So then why the hell did they take Sam Bennett? Why the hell did they take Brandon Hagel?
Jarvis, Konechny.
Yeah. Just in case.
Just take Scheifele. It's going to be like, you're crazy if you think there's going to be nothing.
It's like people in Florida trying to get house insurance. You're trying to get it. Okay, that's what Team Canada did with Bennett. They're just, trying to get insurance.
Sid, Hedman, Barkov, Matthews.
Yeah.
That's the four captains.
All right.
Quinn Hughes not part.
One of them has never won a Stanley Cup.
Is that it? Which one?
Quinn Hughes not part of the leadership core for the United States. It's Tkachuk and Charlie McAvoy are the assistants.
McAvoy's interesting.
I think Canucks. I think Canucks fans, they don't really get bent out of shape about anything, but I think they're a little bit upset about that.
Their shape should be bent.
Yeah.
Any rumblings about Jack Hughes not being 100%? Have you heard it?
Maybe.
I haven't heard anything.
Or not 100% enough.
I don't know.
He's playing last night.
Well, then he's
yeah, so does Petrangelo's playing too. Yeah. And he's not playing in the tournament. You think we're going to still see some guys drop out?
What do you think, Mr. Kiprios?
I think you think.
I don't know.
And I trust you.
I'm just checking to see what you guys have heard.
I've never heard anything.
Sam gets DMs from people with the most obscure Twitter handles.
Listen, if I reported everything I got, I would be... I'm already enough of a hack. I'd be off the TV.
Here's what I'm reporting. Jaromir Jagr is selling the majority stake in his hometown Czech hockey club, Kladno, right at the time that the Pittsburgh Penguins are selling off some ownership in their team. What's Kladno worth? I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I don't know.
Or maybe he just wants the hell out of Kladno.
I mean, did you see he's still playing.
Like, what would it be worth? Any idea what those franchises go for? We saw a junior team sell for $21 million.
I got to believe that junior team's worth more money, right? Canada, OHL?
Maybe.
It's the second division check.
Listen, I tried to Google the standings for Kladno. I'm having a tough go.
That's your homework for us.
Having a tough go to see where they are in the standings.
I saw someone say, I think they're second last in whatever the league is.
I think that's pretty interesting timing.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I think he probably hasn't. It's a lot of money to get a piece in an NHL team, but
yeah,
could he do 1% and be part of the face of the ownership group?
Did you see the setup he had on the goal the other night? It's insane he's still playing.
How would I have seen the setup he had on the goal in Kladno?
Because it was all over every account that tweet stuff out.
All right.
He just dog walks a guy, backhand sauce for a tap into this guy on the other side. It's crazy he's still playing hockey.
It is.
Regardless of the level.
Admire the love of the game.
It's crazy that he hasn't found anything better to do.
Don't you like fishing? Golf?
Something.
Reading?
12 points in 29 games this year. For the Kladno.
The Knights.
Did we mention Miro Heiskanen out?
Oh, that was your tease.
Yeah, that was my tease.
That's the defenseman.
Did we do it? That's the number one D. That is out, but it sounds like his season's not over.
Is that right? That would be huge for Dallas.
Week to week.
Okay. Good news.
That would be really big.
Goodness. Sid, overtime winner.
Yep.
Still got it, eh?
Yeah, it was classic Sid. Cut it across the net, take it back in, put it upstairs.
Do you think there's a chance that at the Four Nations face-off, a bunch of guys in the dressing room will be like, hey, Sid. Like,
just one, Colorado.
Come on. Come on, man.
Just Nate.
Nate will be like, Sid, wave it. Wave the claws, pal. Come, how much would you love to be deep in playoffs again, Sid?
I think there's probably part of him that's been around the team he's playing with. He's locked in to playing with, whoever the hell plays for Kevin Hayes and
Buzz Flibbert and Mark Dong.
Whoever the hell plays for them. and he goes and he gets to play with all these elite guys. Maybe he's like,
this is fun.
This rocks. I would like to continue to do this, to play at a competitive. I don't know. Maybe I'm grasping at straws. Kipper's not even listening to me.
I am, but it's.
I stopped every time that was the case.
People should be fired. If he gets moved now, people should just be fired on the spot. Yeah, you don't put Sid through that. You don't sign him in the summer and then trade him.
Wanted to see if they had any juice left.
No, they're dry. No. It's not good enough reason. You can't treat him that way.
Okay.
No.
We also have, not necessarily breaking news, but within the last hour, Kipper's favorite topic, Utah hockey talk. They have ditched.
What's the latest?
People have been clamoring for it.
What's the latest? I've never heard anyone
give us,
sound
give
like
us the latest, Sammy.
They switched out Wasatch, whatever that is.
A mountain range.
Okay. And they've gone to Outlaws. So the three finalists for the name are Outlaws, Mammoth, and Utah Hockey Club.
Pew, 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 pew.
And I will say that I think Outlaws is awesome. I think Outlaw is better than both of them.
It was a Vegas name. They were the Vegas Outlaws, I think, once upon a time in the East Coast League, weren't they?
I don't think there's something wrong with going back to like a classic name. And that's definitely like one of those. There's probably 50 high schools across America or Canada that have like Outlaws as your name. And it's just a good one. It just tracks. It's fine.
Do you think it's tough to be
you can have a way better
an American
logo.
Town promoting gun violence?
Well, you could
with the Outlaws.
No, I mean, what are you talking? I don't know. I was trying to think of another example of a.
What do you go straight to the Western, the old spaghetti Westerns?
Isn't that all Outlaws are? I don't know.
Pew, pew. Yeah. I don't know.
A Mammoth. Everyone likes Mammoth.
No.
Oh.
Then they're going to shorten it, and they're just going to be known as the Moths.
The Mams? The Mammograms.
Go, Mams, go. I just think that, again, the jersey talk, I think Outlaws has a chance to be much more classic than, like, a big woolly elephant.
Utah Outhouse?
Who's the
Outhouse? Is that what the joke is going to be?
Who's on Bugs Bunny there?
Oh, Yosemite Sam?
Yeah. Yeah, he could be the mascot.
Honestly, if that's the case, I'm in. If they can get the rights to Yosemite Sam, I'm all over it.
Wow.
So they're doing a vote?
Yeah, fan vote. Okay. It'll probably be.
You think that's a good idea?
No, I think they
bringing
should
the
just.
Fans into the
with,
thing.
Remember the fan vote that ended up with a boat named Bodie McBoatface? This is what happens when you give it up to the people. Don't trust us.
I think they should probably just name the damn team.
Yeah, name the damn team.
How's that sound?
No disrespect, but we ended up with John Scott as an all-MVP.
Yeah.
MVP of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, John does a great job. I don't mean to disparage him, but that was not.
No, you did. He did a fantastic job.
He's a fellow WCHA alum.
Played against him.
Yes.
All right, what else have we got? Come on, guys.
We have Demko. His best game puts Canucks back in a playoff spot. So the Canucks are winning games through all the tumult that's going on there. Yesterday, you said that maybe they can play through this for the remainder of the season.
They might not have much
winning
choice.
Winning really changes the tone of things. If you wonder if you just could, you guys sit on opposite ends of the room. You don't have to communicate.
And
I'm starting to believe they can make it work.
Petey's got a no move kicking in July 1st, so all he has to do is just weather the storm here, and he's not going anywhere.
They might get pretty, I mean, if you're looking at playoffs here and you're talking about what might actually happen if they get into the playoffs, it's a different story. But you look at the standings here, and the Flames are 1 point behind them. They've played one last game. And then, like, the next closest is Utah at 50 points with the Canucks at 56.
Yeah, it's like, down to, like, Vancouver or Calgary.
There's no one kicking down their door here. So I think they have a bit of, not time, but it's not dire. There's not seven teams right behind them breathing down their neck. So they do have some time to figure it out a little bit.
But I will say, if you
Calgary doesn't suck, though.
No, if you are the one or the second wildcard team and you get the Oilers or whatever, like either wildcard team, tempted to use the Daryl Sutter line, waste of 8 days.
Definitely.
You know, congrats definitely. On getting in,
honest,
waste of 8 days.
That may be
a waste of 8 days.
Oh, my
the
boy.
The best playoff line in the history of the game. For
so
me,
they had just played, I think it was Colorado, right? And he just said, whoever gets into the final wild card spot and has to play that team, it's just a waste of 8 days. And the team that played them lost in four.
Nailed it.
A waste of 8 days.
Nailed it. Yeah.
I think the best ever is Patrick Waugh. I got my two Stanley Cup.
Plug in my ears.
Yeah. That was during the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
No, because that one just stung JR.
Uh-huh.
Daryl's dismissive of a whole franchise.
Just took a whole organization from like the towel boy to the owner, and he wiped them all out with one comment.
We suck.
Way better than Patrick was.
Yeah, it was a hell of a line.
He crushed 100 people.
And it was actually, I remember that series because Nashville gave him a series. Nashville went to overtime a couple times, I think, and I gave him a series. They got swept.
Daryl. Can you find Daryl for us and get him on the show?
Daryl's my guy.
Can you get him on our show?
He's the Daryl guy, not me.
We want to break down who's about to waste 8 days in April.
Let's get Daryl.
Okay.
We'll make it happen.
All right. Good job. Okay. Our thanks to Gord Stellick and Jason York. 10 games on tap tonight in the National Hockey League. Enjoy yours. and bring it all back here again tomorrow and join us on the Real Kipper and Morning Show. Have a great night, everybody.